What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Beats and Coffee Podcast. This is episode one. My name is Brian, and I'm going to be your host. And I'm doing this podcast because I kind of wanted just to have the opportunity each week to sit down with a cup of coffee and talk about selling beats online, as well as giving, you know, updates and current takes on what's going on in the online producer community. There's so much that goes into, you know, getting the ball rolling as far as selling beats. I've had, you know, a few minor successes, a ton of failures. So I just want to, you know, share all that with you and also hopefully get some feedback. Did want to mention I am going to be posting these episodes to YouTube as well. So make sure to subscribe and, you know, feel free to comment, ask questions, as well as comment about future topics you want to talk about. So a little bit about me. I run a type beats channel on YouTube called The Heartbreak Kid Beats. It is primarily selling pop type beats. And then right now it's kind of closing in on almost 3K subs. And that is almost after probably about 2.5 years worth of work to get it there. So it has taken a long time. It has been a ton of work, but it's been rewarding at the same time. So I'm probably going to get into a lot of that, but just wanted to talk a little bit about, give you my origin story a little bit and how I got started. I'm from the suburbs of Detroit. Yep, so grew up in the Detroit area, lived here my whole life. Huge influences for me, obviously, were Eminem and Kid Rock. You know, when I was a young teenager growing up, you know, everyone wanted to be like them because, you know, we could see what they're doing on a local level. And then to see them blow up, it was crazy. Eventually, so I started out as a rapper, probably not a very good rapper, but it was in a group with my friend and brothers. And we had a ton of fun. In my 20s, we played local bars, had some cool gigs, but eventually I got to a point where I'm like, all right, I'm running out of stuff to rap about. I don't want to do this. And if I'm being totally honest, the music was okay, but I didn't have the vocal presence needed to be a good rapper. When I made those songs, I did make my own beats, so I was kind of already doing that right off the bat, but around my late 20s, as I started to settle down, get married, and start to, you know, have kids, I'm like, all right, I'm done rapping. I don't want to do this anymore, and I started focusing solely on production and mixing. So, and when I say that, it's, you know, I feel like for when you're in music, you're kind of, if you truly have the music bug, you're always into it. It can go dormant for a little while because you get so occupied with your life, you know, family, job, all that stuff, but it never really dies. And so my late 20s and early 30s, I think, you know, I always had the love for it, but didn't really, you know, push or apply anything towards it. I look back at it now and I'm like, man, I was more of just like a gear collector, information gatherer. Like I was on the, you know, the production forums, the mixing forums, gathering all kinds of knowledge about compressors, EQs. I was buying gear. I would buy, you know, a synthesizer, play with it for a little bit, and then 6 months later, sell it and, you know, buy an upgrade to that synthesizer. So it was like a never-ending cycle of trying to acquire gear and acquire knowledge, but I wasn't really doing anything with it. So I will, I don't want to go too much into it because I don't want to bore you guys to death, but I would say around my early 30s is, you know, I started to take it a little more seriously. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do this. I think around 2016 is when I first discovered the BeatStars podcast, and these are the old school ones when Abe Bashton used to host them. And you know, I think DJ Payne One does a way better job. He's a great interviewer, but you know, credit to Abe. His first podcast is what kind of got me going and off on my journey. So appreciate that. But at the time, 2016, I wasn't really. I would hear the information that they would, you know, give you as far as here's what you got to do. You got to be consistent. You got to do this, do that. To be honest with you, I don't know if it was pride or ego or what, but I would say I still had an old head mentality when it came to that. Like, I was doing rap beats, more hip-hop beats, and to be honest with you, I kind of had a negative attitude towards trap music, and trap music was the stuff that was selling like crazy on BeatStars, and you'd hear all these success stories. And so whenever I heard, you know, success stories coming from like the BeatStars communities, I'd be like, oh, that's only because it's trap music. There's no way any other music is going to sell that much. It's just a fad. It'll never last. But honestly, I mean, that was just foolish pride, to be honest with you. And I look back at all the years I've been doing this, and pride is something that has held me back, you know, multiple times. Even now, I could give examples now. I'll probably get into that later, but it's always getting over, you know, what you think you know and what you think you're an expert at, and being willing to learn new things. So I try to keep an open mind now. But anyway, so 2016, yeah, I started to discover the BeatStars stuff, and I would post beats periodically, not consistently though. And you know, when I first started hearing about people selling beats online, I'm like, oh man, I could do this. My music's way better than these people. And I remember my first beat that I posted to YouTube, it was a Post Malone beat. The beat was good, but you know, I thought I was going to post one beat and bam, it was going to get 1 million views. I would get 1,000 subs, you know, overnight. And so when I posted it, nothing happened. I think I got like 11 views. I did get one thumbs up, so that was encouraging. But I was like, well, what the hell? How come this isn't working? And so I kind of messed around, you know, 2016, 2017, you know, was absorbing as much information as I could about selling beats. And then finally in 2018, I think it was August of 2018, I'm like, all right, I'm doing this. And started posting consistently. And even then, you know, when I did it, I was still posting rap beats and a mix of pop beats. And then finally around 2020, I'm like, all right, I gotta niche down here. And so I ended up going with just pop beats. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. We're in November of 2021. And I'm still just doing pop beats, and I think I found my home in that. Like, if I had to pick a style of music that I'd have to make the rest of my life, it would probably be pop over rap. I still love rap. I still get the urge to make it. But I think if I'm going for the long-term longevity, it's probably going to be pop music. So that's just some background on me. Another thing I just want to talk about is the podcast. Why am I starting a podcast? Well, for one, it's like I said before, like I feel like I've acquired a bunch of knowledge through success and many, many failures. So I want to share that with everyone here. But just another thing is I'm kind of a podcast fiend myself. Like I mean, I listen to music rarely, probably when I'm doing dishes, that's about it. Or working out, I listen to music too. But every other time that, you know, I'm listening to something, it's usually a podcast. Some of my favorites and the most ones I find the most inspiring for online producers would be BeatStars podcast, obviously, with DJ Paid One. Like I said, I think he does a great job interviewing people. And let's face it, he just kind of comes off as a cool dude also. Producer Grind, oh man, so many great interviews there. The one thing I did want to say about Producer Grind, like the episodes that I like the most are the ones about like the independent online producers, not so much the ones about the guys getting all the placements. Like for me, I'm fascinated about, all right, how did you build something from ground zero and take it to a level where you're making money and, you know, you're making a living off of it. That's kind of what I'm obsessed with. So, that's probably what you're going to hear the most about. Placements. I mean, I would take a placement in a second from a big artist. But that's not really what I'm focusing on. Let's see some other podcasts. So Kyle Beats podcast. This is my number one favorite podcast. And I think it's just because, I mean, Kyle, he's like self-made millionaire coming from nothing. I love his attitude of, you know, he realized at a young age that he wasn't going to fit into, you know, the corporate format that so many of us go into. The format that I'm currently in right now, working a 9-to-5 job, trying to get out of. But his podcast, if you haven't listened to him, man, like they're really inspirational. He kind of mixes in a little Gary V to his stuff, but I credit him for you know, keeping me going with all this. Gary V, obviously, Joe Rogan, they're always good for inspiration. Let's see, the Midi Money podcast with Gabe Schillinger. I think those guys do a great job as well. And then also shouts out to Curtis King. I love Curtis King, man. I love what he does. He's positive. He's inspirational. So anyway, that is just a little bit about me and my origin story and why I wanted to start a podcast. I did have a topic, so let's get to today's main topic. Today's main topic is, you know, recently, I'd say in the past couple months, you know, everyone has kind of been down on YouTube and selling beats online through YouTube. You know, back in 2016, 2018, when I first got started, YouTube was the platform to grow as, you know, an online producer. Now it seems like it's, you know, I've heard many things like it's starting to slow down. The algorithm isn't as friendly as it used to be. Keep hearing people saying like sales are super slow. Even guys that have like 100K subs are only getting like, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 views. So I've been thinking about this for the past couple months because, you know, these past 3 years, I have heavily invested my time and money into growing my YouTube channel. So it's a little concerning. And then this past week, I caught an interview on the Chris Poncelon TV YouTube show. He kind of just started a podcast. He's had a channel for a couple of years now, but he interviewed Lusion. And for those of you that don't know who Lusion is, he's a lo-fi YouTube producer, and he was like, he was a YouTube producer for a couple of years, and you know, he was grinding, you know, posting videos every week, and you know, got to around like I think he said it was like 1,800 subs, and then he, you know, caught on that his sister-in-law was doing TikTok videos, and she was just gaining a big following out of nowhere. So he's like, all right, I'm going to jump on TikTok and see what I could do as far as a producer. So he was like the first one to really jump onto it and really make an effort on TikTok. And it rewarded him handsomely. Like he blew up pretty much overnight. And so he had, you know, a ton of TikTok followers. And then that audience extended to his YouTube channel. So his subs grew incredibly crazy, like over a week span. And then even after that, that audience even extended to his Spotify artist channel. So he, you know, within what felt like a couple of weeks, a month, you know, he kind of blew up on all platforms and was making money off his music, was living off of it. And then eventually he ended up getting signed to Republic Records as an artist, not even as a producer, as like an artist. And if you're not familiar with Republic Records, they have like Ariana Grande, Drake, Jonas Brothers. So it's like the real deal. But anyway, he was being interviewed, and it was interesting to hear his latest take on YouTube. I'll let you guys listen to it. I have the sound clip here. Let's take a listen, and then we'll talk about it.
Let's talk about TikTok, because, you know, obviously you came up on TikTok. If I don't know if that's fair to say,
but, oh, that's very fair to say.
TikTok gave you a nice career.
Oh fuck yeah, absolutely.
So it's been like two or three years now that TikTok is like
2 years.
Been bubbling. Do you feel like TikTok is still the best way to promote yourself over like YouTube and everything else?
1000%.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, not knocking people on YouTube. I mean, I was doing that for so fucking long, but I think about it, I'm like, are people still trying to make it on YouTube? Like,
yeah.
Cause it's so empty on YouTube. I feel like even if you have steady content and then you get a video on YouTube that fucking blows up, there's like this weird chain link where it doesn't get connected anymore. But that connection from TikTok, it's slowing down for sure from what it used to be. Like when I came up on TikTok, like there's no way in hell that the way I came up 2 years ago would happen exactly the same way today. It wouldn't happen just because TikTok has changed so fucking much. And not to get into a big thing, but I remember a big topic of when you first asked me about TikTok, you know, you were like, how'd you get the sound muted?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
technical now, questions.
Exactly. Now people know how to fucking do that right away. So, yeah. You know, it's definitely very different, but you know, I think YouTube's just a great platform for people that have followings. And then we keep our content over there and stuff. But
yeah,
TikTok is 1,000,000%
the best,
the number one best way to get your music promoted out there.
All right. So I think you heard what he had to say. All right. I have to admit, when I first heard that, that was kind of like a gut punch about YouTube, where he's like, oh, are people still trying to grow on YouTube? I was like, damn. Because honestly, like for the past 2.5 years, I've pretty much 80% of the time of what's going through my head, I'm thinking about, all right, how can I grow on YouTube? How can I grow on YouTube? Not to mention, I have invested a ton into Google ads, YouTube ads to grow the channel. So that one kind of hurt. But let's keep his comments in perspective. First, I just want to say, you know, I respect the hell out of Lusion. He genuinely seems like a good dude. He has good head on his shoulders. He speaks well spoken. And you know, I'm happy for his success. Honestly, it's inspirational to all of us. But with saying that, like, I think we have to consider, you know, the perspective from where he's coming from. So like he blew up on TikTok. So it's literally TikTok has given him like a 1 in a million opportunity, you know, dream job. So from his perspective, of course he's going to favor TikTok a little bit. As far as my attempts at TikTok, maybe I'm given the opposite perspective, because I have not, you know, had success on TikTok, but I do have an account. I'll be honest, I haven't even really tried on it. I think I did a couple of videos where I just played my beat on screen and that was it. And, you know, I think I got a couple of views. It started to grow a little bit, but with all the stuff, you know, I got going on with YouTube and BeatStars and getting beats out the door, it kind of fell off. So that's on me. Honestly, like, there's just only so many hours in the week and you have to prioritize, all right, what is the most important? Like, for me, the most important is getting, you know, getting a beat created each week, getting it uploaded to YouTube, getting it up on BeatStars. And then as part of that automated process, I also push it out on DistroKid, so it goes out on all the streaming platforms. And then I've also been uploading to this new app called Voicy, which is kind of like TikTok, but it only does, you know, the where people take your tracks and sing to them. It's still very early stages. It's kind of clunky, but you might want to check it out. So in my kind of assembly line process, I make it so YouTube is first, and then there's a bunch of other little tasks that are easy to do that I'm hoping are going to pay off in the long run. So I'm pushing out to those feeds. And I'll be honest, Instagram, I just Facebook company at all, I have issues with. Instagram, Facebook, I do not have a good presence on. I think if you go there, you will see abandoned profiles for my stuff. But the thing that I could never get past, or I always had an issue with, is I couldn't stand how they would try to push my producer content to like my family members and friends. Like, you know, it would be recommended friends, and it would be like my aunt. And I'd be like, no, I don't want her to see my beat page. That will just lead to all kinds of questions and stuff like that. So through that process, like I'm going off on a tangent here, but for Facebook and Instagram, when I did those, I kept trying to, I think at times I restarted my account a couple times. And so I kept changing my username, and it got to a point where Facebook has kicked me off the platform. So, I know eventually I'm going to want to get back on there, because I did dabble in Facebook ads for a bit. But as of right now, I am kicked off the platform. So anyway, that was a long tangent, just to say, you know, there's only so many hours in a week, and you have to prioritize what you think will give you the most bang for your buck. For me, it was YouTube. But hearing what Lucian had to say, like, this is the first time that I'm actually second guessing, oh shit, should I be focusing on YouTube? Should I be focusing on something else? So, I mean, for me, I kind of feel like TikTok, it's a good branding lead generation tool. You know, but honestly, if I'm going to say off the top of my head, I'm not ready to give up on YouTube. With TikTok, you're definitely catching the younger audience. Like, you're probably getting people that are barely dabbling into wanting to be an artist, but you're getting those seeds early. Whereas I think YouTube, you have people that are more confident, they've made a couple songs, and they want to do this. They're at that stage of it. So, you know, it's only going to benefit you if you can get those people when they're just starting out to become familiar with you. Honestly, it's just a different way of posting content. Like, for YouTube, you know, we've learned over the past couple of years, you have to post as many beats as you can, and you have to niche down, and you'll find your audience. For TikTok, it's like you have to entertain them. It's almost like an SNL skit, but you have to somehow, you know, weave in something that would be interest to the producer community. So I definitely haven't figured it out yet. I've actually had a couple ideas that I'm thinking about doing, but I'm not against TikTok. I'm all for it. But it's just all hours in a day. YouTube has always been my dedicated platform. So with that said, though, you know, kind of going back and forth on both sides of it, you know, lately there's been a lot of concerns about YouTube. Like I said before, the algorithm doesn't seem as favorable as it used to be. Like, you hear guys like DJ Payne One and Omito Beats talk about, you know, these guys have 100K sub channels, and they're talking about that they're barely, you know, getting a fraction of the views that they used to. So that's a little concerning. And also YouTube, it is so damn hard to break through in your niche. Like, the top guys stay on top, and you just have to keep plowing and pushing away at it until you outlast them, or you just break through. Like if I go to, if I search Pop Type Beat right now, it's the same guys that have been on top, Contrabands, you know, PR Beats. And then, but one good thing I'm seeing is, I'm seeing some of the other guys that, you know, I feel like I'm coming up with are starting to break through as well. So that's encouraging. And I want to say for YouTube, I think there's like, I think you get like a window of time when you first post a beat. I do think they sprinkle it in with some of those higher viewed guys or viewed videos. Because I'm looking at it right now. I see a guy that posted something 15 hours ago. It was a Khalid type beat. He's only got 43 views. I do think YouTube, if like the keyword matches it, exactly. And it, I think it will test it out. It's just, if it doesn't catch fire immediately, they're going to go back to, you know, the results where you have the top guys in the videos and the most views. So I do think YouTube does give you a chance. Another concern here in, if you guys ever listen to Legion Beats podcast, you know, his mentor is Russell Brunson. I've read the Traffic Secrets book from Russell Brunson. Good book, a lot of stuff in there. A lot of it applies. Some of it's probably overkill. But one thing that he talks about is like these social platforms, they call them slaps when they like reset their algorithms. So he was saying he's gone through the Google slap many times, and which is why he always encourages people, you know, to own your own traffic, not just be part of these social platforms because you don't really own your traffic. So they're like, you know, his big thing is you got to collect your own emails, you got to collect phone numbers as much as you can. So for me, you know, concerns, you know, I've mainly been growing on YouTube. I have been collecting emails and growing on BeatStars, but I will say this, like if YouTube went away, that would be a killer for me. I wouldn't quit. I've come too far. I'm going to keep this thing going. But if YouTube went away, that would be a crushing blow. So with this Google slap, I kind of felt it myself, to be honest with you. Like I was getting like 300 to 500 views a video. And then a couple months back, I noticed, you know, it started to go to like 100 to 150. So I'm doing what I can to kind of battle that. I've rebranded myself. I changed up my thumbnails to try to attract more pop artists and just kind of stand out from the crowd. One good thing is, you know, where I do mention that, like, I do spend a lot on Google Ads, and that has helped my channel grow. But with doing that, my organic growth has gone up as well. So it's almost like they're hand in hand. And I did want to mention something about Google Ads and paying for ads. Like, with YouTube, I worry that it is pay for play now. If you guys are familiar with Luke Forprez, he's another YouTube producer. He does a lot of awesome educational videos. But he recently did like a experiment where he started a brand new channel, and he has, you know, like 500 trap beats, you know, in the chamber, and he's been releasing them one a day, every day, on a brand new YouTube channel to see what kind of organic growth he can get. Cause you always hear just keep posting every day and, you know, the algorithm will pick you up. Well, you know, one of his latest updates, I think he had done 150 beats in a row. And honestly, like that would be my whole catalog, 150 days in a row with posting beats. And he is only up to like, you know, 150 subs. So that's concerning to me. That, to me, that says YouTube, you're going to have a hard time growing organically on it. And, you know, it's feeling like they're going more towards a pay-to-play type deal. But anyway, so those are some concerns with YouTube. you know, when I think about this, though, I go back to say, well, why was I so diehard on YouTube in the beginning? Why did I go all in with it? Some of the pros are the content lives forever. Like for TikTok and Instagram, it's on a feed. And like if you don't catch, if your audience doesn't catch that feed, it's gone. You know, it's, they see it one day and then it's gone. Yeah, sure, if they see something they like, they could scroll back through, but the chances are if they don't see it on the first day, they're not going to see it and they'll never revisit it again. With YouTube, the algorithm is always randomly popping up videos from, you know, 2-3 years ago. So that's, it's got that going for it. And even if you search for a certain type beat, it always brings up, it doesn't hurt people that uploaded content years ago. It still populates that. So I like that about YouTube. Secondly is monetization. You know, TikTok and Instagram, I think they have, I'll be honest, I'm not totally sure with TikTok, but TikTok and Instagram, you know, you can get sponsors and you can get people to invest in your brand that way. But YouTube still is the only one that has the AdSense program, where just for posting videos, based off how many views you get, you can get paid for that. Just to give you guys insight on a type beat channel, so I have around 2.7K subs. And so I have enough subs to qualify for AdSense, but I'm only 25% of the way there as far as watch hours. And this is obviously because we're posting, you know, 2-3 minute beats. People are only hanging on for 40 seconds. So it's going to take a tight beat channel much longer to qualify for AdSense. There you have it. There's like arguments both ways. This week I've been really thinking about, all right, geez, is it time to start shifting my focus off YouTube? Maybe putting it more towards, TikTok, or even I've also thought about this. Should I shift my focus to Google search ads? I've heard, a lot of producers have success with that, and that would send traffic directly to my website, which is ultimately where I want them to go. Even when, you know, I send traffic to my YouTube channel, it's more of a lead generation type thing. And then ultimately I'm hoping to get them to my website. So that's another path I can take. So this week I've been kind of pondering that. And as I prepared for this first podcast, and I knew this was going to be my topic, this morning I was on my way to get my Dunkin' coffee, and I was listening to a Music Hustle podcast where they were interviewing Curtis King, and this literally just happened this morning that I caught this, and he said something on there that kind of put me at ease and made me want to stay the course. I'm going to let you guys listen to this right now, and then I'll close this thing out.
Yeah, you're doing your thing, man, and it's crazy, to see where you've how much you've grown. I'm not trying to sound like a stalker or anything, but like I like going down on people's feeds on YouTube, and I just scroll down to their first video. It gives me so much, giving me so much motivation, to see how far they've gone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I go down to one of your first videos, and man, it was just insane to see like the growth and scrolling down, there were some videos with 500 views, and it was like, wow, this is this is around where what we're getting right now. And it's just dang.
But this is all of that stuff matters, man. And I think there's a lot of people,
right?
A lot of producers that I had an opportunity to mentor one-on-one that I realized if they were to stick with anything, one thing, just one thing for 6 months and do it consistently, which is the major part about it, they would move the needle on so much, right? If you just stuck with one thing for 6 months, your life would literally be in a much different position. And a lot of folks just, they have the distraction of work or the distraction of school, the distraction of relationships, whatever the case may be, they allow themselves to be distracted. And it's the reason why they don't move the needle.
All right. So there you heard it. I mean, to me, that was kind of refreshing. You got to stay the course. if you keep making right turns, you know, if you keep going one direction and then you're like, oh, I got to try this out. You turn into another direction. And then you keep going down that road and then you're like, oh, maybe I should try this out. You make another right turn and you're like, oh, I should try this out. You make another right turn and eventually you're just going in circles. So I think I needed to hear this advice this week in that I'm just going to keep staying the course with YouTube. I've already come too far. I'm going to keep going. And I'll leave it at that. I still may look into doing TikTok. Taking that more seriously. It can never hurt. But for me, I think YouTube is going to still be my main platform that I dedicate to first, and then go from there. All right. I think that is good enough for a first episode. Hope you liked it. If you're checking it out on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, like, and also comment, ask questions. Let me know about any future topics you want to talk about. I hope to eventually start interviewing people on this podcast. And I really want to hear more from the Type Beat producers. I feel like most interviews that you get out there are for the YouTube producers that are doing the tutorials and doing the vlogging and that type of comment. For me, I really want to pick the brains of the Type Beat producers that are having success selling beats online. So I think when I get to that stage, I'll probably start targeting those guys to interview. But anyway, thanks for listening. I will catch you next week. Bye.